Hello and welcome to another episode of Podcast DX, the show that brings you interviews with people just like you whose lives were forever changed by a medical diagnosis. I'm Lita. Ron is out this week.
And I'm Pippi Longstocking.
What?
I have the stripy socks.
Oh.
Well, I have a stripy sock because the other one is a Harlequin sock because I couldn't find the pair of stripy socks.
Okay. Well, collectively, with socks, without socks, or whether or not we're present or present in spirit, collectively we're the host of Podcast DX. On today's show, we're speaking once again with Sheila about her abdominal adhesions.
Well, I don't think they're normal. They're a side effect of
C-section.
Surgery.
Yeah. Right, right. Welcome back to the show, Sheila.
Hi, Sheila.
Hi, thank you for having me again.
There she is.
Yeah, thank you.
You sound very close for coming from Phoenix, Arizona. What's it like down there in Phoenix today?
It's a good day. It's pretty. It's a little bit cooler than it has been. So.
Oh, good.
No complaints.
Good. To start us off, what is an adhesion?
Well, the adhesion, it's an basically scar tissue that knits things together.
Okay.
Organs or areas which would not normally be connected. Adhesions may be tissue, thin tissue, or form heavy bands, and they typically develop when the body's tissue is disturbed. For example, when you have surgery or suffer from an injury, have an infection, or when exposed to radiation.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Adhesions may form anywhere in the body. However, they are most often found in and around the stomach, the pelvic region, and the heart.
Oh, well, Sheila, you had adhesions in your abdomen, right? And what kind of symptoms did you have with that?
So a lot of pain in my middle,
okay,
in my stomach area. So abdominal adhesions may cause pain, intestinal obstruction or fertility problems, bladder problems. Adhesions may, or they can reduce the capacity and proper emptying of the bladder, pain and frequency. Adhesions can result in the pelvic organs being attached to each other abnormally, like the bowel to the uterus or the uterus to the bladder.
Wow.
There are also endometriosis adhesions, but they aren't in the uterine wall. They occur anywhere in the body, but they cycle just like your period should and break away from their connection to the lining of the area that where they formed. For instance, your neck or your heart, then they grow all over again the next month.
Oh, that sounds horrible.
Yeah.
And you said you had abdominal pain. Did you have any of those other symptoms? Did you have like any issues with digestion or anything?
So I had issues with my bowels.
Okay.
So just having bowel movements. So that was one of the issues I was having.
And how did they diagnose your adhesions?
So they did a CT scan.
Okay.
And they saw that there were adhesions and blockage. They're very difficult to diagnose as they're not generally seen on X-rays, and nor are they typically seen on an MRI or a CT or ultrasound, or even during a colonoscopy.
Wow.
The only way to see the adhesions is through exploratory surgery.
Okay.
An obstruction, for example, of the bowels may be caused by adhesions that can be seen on an X-ray or CT scan.
Oh, okay, so they could see.
That's what they saw on you,
okay,
right?
Okay.
Yes, correct,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And what did your medical team or doctor decide to do? Did they operate?
Yes, they did. They did operate. There was a lot of testing beforehand. And they were just trying to control my pain as well as to see if they could drain any fluid out or anything to try and help me not have to go through the surgery, but I definitely needed to have the surgery done.
Okay. And were they able to drain fluid in from the abdominal region or?
Not much, no.
Okay. Because I know, yeah, that probably put extra pressure in that area. Okay.
Were you surprised to find out what was actually going on? I mean, this is 5 years after the C-section.
Yeah, it was just so weird to me that something like this would happen.
Okay.
But just with the amount of pain, I had no choice but to believe it because it
oh,
was
sure, yeah.
so painful.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the only thing that would keep me from not feeling so much pain was morphine.
Oh,
wow. That was a high amount of pain.
Yeah. And you're, yeah, yeah, and for those of you that don't know Sheila, she's a tough cookie.
Yes, she has a high pain yes. tolerance.
Yeah. Yes, I do.
And a wonderful outlook.
I understand that your adhesions actually got so bad that they cut off part of your intestine, making a blockage and making it gangrene. I bet you were happy yes. that they got in there to take care of that.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes, definitely. It was very scary, but they definitely had to, they had to cut out about a foot of my small intestine.
Oh, wow.
And it was almost instantaneous how the pain dissipated once they had got done with that.
Oh, wow.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
I mean, horrible and wonderful.
Yeah.
And how are you feeling now? It's been how long, about how long since you had that done?
Yeah, it's been a couple, maybe 2 or 3 months now, and I feel fine, back to normal. And
oh, good.
Everything seems to be fine now.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, great.
Is it possible that you could mm-hmm. have complications or more adhesions in the future?
I'm sure it is. We didn't really discuss that too much with the doctors, but I mean, there is a possibility.
Well, I'm just thinking if the even first the adhesions same. Caused because you had surgery in the
yes.
area, and now they did surgery to take care of the adhesions. Yeah.
I was just wondering, is there anything patients can do to reduce their risk of forming the surgical adhesions?
I don't think so, not really. As with anything, you should listen to your body.
Okay.
I feel it's so important.
Mm-hmm.
Let your doctor know when you're in pain and keep track of your symptoms wherever possible. Don't delay in seeking medical care, as an infection can increase your chances of forming adhesions,
okay.
for example, with an appendicitis.
Oh, sure. Okay.
And keep in mind that complications like adhesions may not become problematic right away.
Okay, like with you.
They
yeah.
may develop. Yeah, they may develop over months.
Well, how long?
Or even years. After
how long were you actually in pain before they dealt with yours? Like you probably put up with it and just thought nothing of it for a while, right?
Well, you know what? It for me it happened so quickly.
Okay.
I just felt the pain like intense right away. I don't remember feeling any pain prior to when it just got so extreme.
Okay. And, well, and it's a good thing, yeah, that you listen to your body.
Yeah, and it's
and that your doctors listen to you.
Yeah. I mean, they waited I think over 12 hours though before they actually operated.
Okay.
But that's not so bad. I mean, you know, 12, I mean, I'm just thinking if it was 12 weeks.
Right.
You know. So in other words, you got on it right away. You knew there was something wrong.
Yeah.
And you went in and they took care of it. And now you're on a
road to recovery.
A path to recovery, right. Mm-hmm. Do you have to be on a liquid diet after the surgery?
Yeah, you really don't feel like eating anything for a long time.
Okay.
But, I mean, definitely a liquid diet. And then eventually, once you've had a bowel movement, then you're allowed to start trying other food, but for a while, at least for about a week, I think it was a liquid diet.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I think that's probably true.
Do they count milkshakes?
Yeah.
I don't know if milkshakes are liquid.
Are milkshakes considered okay on a liquid diet?
I think so.
Okay, good.
I mean, it works for me. Yeah.
You don't.
Definitely.
You just don't feel like eating anything for a while. You're just it's just a lot of pain that you've been through and stuff. So,
right.
How long were you in the hospital for that one?
16 days.
Oh, my gosh.
Wait a minute. 16 days?
Oh.
Yes.
That's obscene.
Oh, you poor thing.
Why were you in the hospital so long?
Because I developed pneumonia once I got done with the...
Oh, okay.
With the procedure, then I developed pneumonia. So
okay, on top of that.
Longer.
All right.
Yeah.
I was thinking, you know, now that I know adhesions will put you in the hospital for 16 days, I'm going to do everything. So pneumonia, that's when they That's why they try to get you to cough and breathe in that tube and all that after a surgery?
Yes.
And that's probably really hard when they have abdominal surgery, right?
Yeah.
Yes. It's extremely painful.
I can imagine.
Yeah. Okay, I think all of our interviews with Sheila are going to end up with me crying at the end.
Oh.
Poor thing.
But you're feeling good now.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Well, yeah, you said it was
I feel like...
Yeah. I'm sorry.
I feel like I'm back to normal.
Good. Okay.
Very good.
Yeah.
Okay, well...
Yes.
Thank you, Sheila. Do you have any last-minute advice for our listeners?
No, I think we kind of covered everything, but... I mean, just basically just to listen to your body, just make sure that you're, if you notice anything that seems abnormal, just to have it checked out so it doesn't get worse. It's easier to get something, to have something diagnosed as soon as possible, so there's less chance of being hospitalized and going through what I went through.
Terrible. Yeah. Well, I'm glad you're feeling better.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much for joining our show once again. I hope that you stay healthy and happy, and we don't have to have you on for any other medical conditions.
But I think we are flying out to see you in November,
right?
Which is National Premature Birth Day.
And
or month.
Month, right. And we're going to just add another episode for the twins and Rishi.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, Sheila.
Well, thanks again for having me.
Thank you. And
all right. We'll talk soon.
Give the kids all a kiss from us.
And yeah, give Mike and all the kids hugs and kisses. All right. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
I will.
All right. Bye-bye.
Take care. All right. Bye.
If our listeners have any questions or comments related to today's show, they can contact us at podcastdx@yahoo.com, through our website, podcastdx.com, on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, or Instagram.
And if you have a moment to spare, please give us a 5-star review wherever you get your podcast.
Please keep in mind that this podcast is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regime. And never disregard professional medical advice or delay in seeking it because of something you have heard on this podcast.
Until next time.
Thank you much. Bye-bye.